Well, are you as confused as I am concerning the Indigenous Voice proposed referendum? The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, has revealed a proposed set of words to be added to the Constitution to enshrine an Indigenous voice to Parliament. And he's also outlined what Australians might be asked in a referendum on an Indigenous voice to Parliament. Now, the new details outlined at the Garma Festival in northeast Arnhem Land a couple of weeks ago has been heralded by some as an historic moment. But can I just say this, as an Indigenous Australian and someone who's watching this very carefully, I'm confused. If you're going to have a referendum and you need a referendum to change the Constitution, I think it's probably a good idea that people know exactly what they'll be voting for. You see, getting a referendum passed in this country is not easy. You not only need a majority of votes, but you need a majority of states. And it's been a long time since a referendum was passed, so I think if you're going to go to the trouble and indeed the expense to hold a referendum, you've got to make it really clear what people are voting for. Newly elected senator to the Parliament from the Northern Territory is an old friend of mine, Jacinta Price. And I think this is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you since you were elected to the Senate. So good morning and welcome and congratulations and about time.
Good morning, Luke, and thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a while since you and I have had a chat. And as you know, I've been so busy, but I am really pleased to finally be able to be a voice on the floor of the Senate, I think at a really crucial time, particularly in our country's history.
I couldn't agree more. And you've got a lot of work ahead, but you've spent a lot of time building up to this. So it's all systems go. You would have hit the ground running. But can I ask you about this proposed referendum? And excuse my ignorance. I'm confused. And everyone I've spoken to who has great empathy and sympathy for the Indigenous cause and would love to see officially the Indigenous voice recognised in the Constitution. But what are we actually voting on?
Well, you know, the truth is it's not just yourself or myself that is confused about this, but it's clear that the Prime Minister himself is confused about it, as is his Minister for Indigenous Australians, because, you know, on the same day in Garma, he proposed that he would put the question to the Australian people in a referendum, and that the details of this voice that he wants to enshrine in our constitution will come after the referendum, and that'll be the parliament that decides what that model looks like. And then on the same day, I put the question, well, I heard the Minister for Indigenous Australians basically tell us that she said that consultation will take place amongst the Australian people, and it'll be them who will decide what this body of the voice looks like prior to the referendum. So I actually put it to the Labor government on the floor of the Senate this week to get a clear indication of who, in fact, is telling us what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the minister or is it the prime minister that is right in terms of what this is supposed to look like? And they have not been able to provide a clear answer one way or the other.
So what would you like to be the question in the referendum? Because as I said in my introduction, it's really hard to get a referendum across the line in Australia. Really hard.
Well, I don't think there's a need for a referendum, to be quite honest. I think we're going about things the wrong way in terms of dealing with the disadvantage of marginalised Indigenous Australians. And I think we need to look at and hold to account the many organisations who've been funded millions and billions of dollars over the years to alleviate this disadvantage, because they have as much responsibility as any government for their failures of being able to change the circumstances on the ground. They have, however, enabled certainly members of that industry to have long-lasting careers, who are certainly advantaged, but who have never been held accountable for the failures of these organisations. And my greatest concern and fear is that this referendum is going to be a Trojan horse, and the government will seek to establish another bureaucracy but within the constitution that can't be dismantled, even if it fails.
Yeah, it does need to be a referendum if you're going to change the constitution. You're suggesting we don't need to change the constitution, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So when you look at the millions and millions or billions of dollars that have been thrown towards Indigenous Australia over the years, and not much change has happened. I mean, you've come from Alice Springs. You've seen what happens at the coalface. You and I have spoken about this many times. I mean, it concerns me that we still have a problem with health issues, that Indigenous people are racked with the worst health in Australia, with alcoholism, with sexual abuse. Why, now the sexual abuse thing, for example, why do people pretend that that doesn't exist?
Well, see, that is one of my biggest concerns is the fact that so many people deny or try to water down these very critical issues. I actually find it really concerning when people say, well, domestic violence, sexual abuse happens in all communities. And yes, it does, but not at the incredibly high rates that it occurs within marginalised Indigenous communities. But if we keep denying this, then we can't actually get to a point where we can address these issues with a level of responsibility from our end as Indigenous Australians. If we actually take responsibility, we might be able to solve some of these problems. But the fact that we're being told we don't have to be responsible because it's the government's responsibility or it's a result of colonisation, we can't in fact do that. We become disempowered from that notion. Our agency is removed. And that's just the starting point when it comes to addressing some of these issues. I've received so much. I've been attacked over the years for trying to bring these very real issues to light and speak the truth. And of course, if we do actually get around to solving these issues, we in fact won't need a voice to Parliament. We won't need to fund these organisations millions of dollars to support the advancement of Indigenous Australians. So I think we should stop dividing us along the lines of race, support those who are in need. Because just because you're Indigenous doesn't mean you're disadvantaged. There are plenty of Indigenous Australians doing pretty good. Yourself, myself, we don't need the sort of support that's there along the lines of, race in this country. We're doing all right, so we should provide support for those in need, no matter what the racial background. I think that's where we're going wrong. But this constitutional change is a further division. It's dividing us again. It's treating us as a separate entity to the rest of Australia, and that's where I believe all our problems come from.
Jacinta, I know you're busy and you've got to go, but we need to talk again. I want to talk to you about a number of things down the track. Number one, why are Indigenous Australians so overrepresented in jail? Adults, and we're talking about juvenile crime as well. Why are juvenile Indigenous Australians so overrepresented when it comes to arrests and charges, not necessarily incarceration, but certainly we have a problem around Australia with juvenile crime, and no one wants to talk about the overrepresentation of Aboriginal kids.
That's exactly right. And it is a really sad set of circumstances. And, I go back to the Royal Commission into Black Deaths in Custody. When that first began, it was thought that it was a result of racism. It was because of racism that more Indigenous Australians were dying in custody. The commission actually found that wasn't the case. Racism wasn't a contributing factor, but that we were overrepresented. Now, Don Wedderburn, who is a former New South Wales head of the Bureau of Crime and Statistics, he wrote a book called Arresting Incarceration, and he outlines quite clearly what are the causative factors that contribute to higher rates of incarceration to begin with.
Yes.
And they are non-school attendance or low school attendance, child neglect and abuse, and unemployment. So
And
that
nutrition.
provides. And nutrition, and that provides, those circumstances for any human being gives them a higher likelihood of ending up being incarcerated. And that's where we're overrepresented as Indigenous Australians, in
You
those causal factors.
and I need to talk in more detail about it down the track. Just one thing, because I'm married to a non-Indigenous Australian, and she often feels through people like Lydia Thorpe, and I'll ask you about Lydia Thorpe in a sec, that she feels guilty about what happened in 1788. She had nothing to do with it. And has supported me. We've known each other since 1975, by the way, me and Nick. And yet, why should she and her family be made to feel guilty about something that happened in 1788? And I was bewildered at Lydia Thorpe's entrance into the Senate the other day. What did you make of it?
Look, I thought it was a total distraction. It was quite, you know, selfish, really, because she's misled the Senate and. The whole of Australia, you know, she said publicly that she doesn't, you know, her oath was misleading. And that to me is really, really disrespectful, not just to those of us in the Senate, but to the Australian people. Because when you're elected in federal parliament, you're there to represent people of all different backgrounds. And I just think, you know, I just say to Australians, don't allow yourselves to be gaslit or manipulated or for, you know, to be the victim of emotional blackmail,
mm-hmm. because
that doesn't form the basis for anything good going forward. But I see a lot of Australians being manipulated through emotional blackmail when it comes to Indigenous issues, and that to me is completely un-Australian. That's the same sorts of tactics that are used by people who perpetrate violence and coercive control over individuals in personal relationships. So why should you accept that on a wider scale? Why should you accept to be manipulated under those circumstances?
Indeed. Jacinta, it's great to hear your voice. I was really proud of you last week. I sent you a message and told you that. And please keep the fight going. And can you and I talk more regularly?
Look, I will do everything I can to make sure that we can talk more regularly. And given my incredibly busy
I know,
schedule,
I know.
I try my best.
We'll do our best. We'll stay in touch. You have a good day and thanks for your time.
Take care, Luke. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Jacinta Price here on The Night Shift on Triple M.